advocate. It's a word that's very rarely used in the New Testament. In fact, it's only used there about Christ, and then in the latter chapters of the Gospel of John about the Holy Spirit. How about that? John, this aged apostle, is the only writer whom the Holy Spirit even inspired to use this particular beautiful word. Let's notice the way he uses it when he talks about the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, he says in John 14, verse 16, as he's preparing to go to the cross, Jesus says to his disciples, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." I've had some interesting discussions recently with people who reject the deity of Christ, who say that he's just a good man. Sometimes they'll even refer to him as a God, but they say he's not Almighty God. He's just a man. There are many places throughout the Scriptures that refute that false teaching. But here's one of the beautiful examples of that prove the falsity of that idea right here in this passage. He says, "I'll give you another Comforter." We're going to see later on in the next couple of chapters of the Gospel of John that this Comforter is called the Holy Ghost, that's going to be sent from God. He's showing here a complete harmony of work between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus didn't say, "I'm going to send you just a Comforter," but he said, "I'm going to send you another Comforter." In other words, just like I've been with you while I've walked with you, I'm going to give you another one just like that. In fact, in the tongue that the Scriptures were written in, the word for another there, there's two different words for another. One of them is another of a different kind, and this one is another of the same kind. It emphasizes the oneness between Christ and His Spirit that will be sent after His death. It emphasizes that their purpose, their character, their nature is one and the same. Another Comforter. Notice later in this same chapter, in verse 26, he says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now turn the page. In my Bible, it's on the very next page in John chapter 15, verse 26. He says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." And then finally in John chapter 16, verse 13, he says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself." And in verse 7, he called him the Comforter. Yet again, each time you see that word Comforter used in the Gospel of John there, each one of those times, it's the very same word in our text that says Jesus is our advocate. Now, that bothers some people. They say, well, somebody must have messed up in the translation, because there's nothing at all that's similar about Comforter and advocate. So you can imagine that for many people, the least comforting thing in the world to see is a lawyer. And so to say that advocate means the same thing as comforter just seems like it doesn't make sense. I want to suggest to you, according to the Word of God, that it does make sense in this context. As I said before, this is not some two-bit lawyer trying to get his client off, just whoever will pay his fee. This is a lawyer representing the client whom he's already made just. He's representing a righteous client before a righteous judge, and he himself is a righteous advocate. And the word that's translated here in one place advocate and in another place comforter is a word that means to come alongside to one's aid. Someone that comes alongside you to help. Now can you see that there is some similarity here? Can you see that the Holy Spirit that Christ promised His disciples does just that? He comes alongside us in our experience. He's not just out there somewhere, you know, a great God that's up in the stars somewhere. But He's a God who's right here with us in the times of our need. He's a God who comforts us day by day by day. He's a God who gives us songs in the night, as the psalmist said. He's a God who's always present with us, even when we don't feel Him to be there. The problem is not that He's fled from us, it's that we've departed from Him and closed our eyes to His presence there. He's always there. He's a perpetual source of strength and delight and comfort. Here on earth, we have that Holy Spirit with us as a group, as a congregation of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and as individual saints striving to walk as light, as children of light in this earth. We have the Holy Spirit with us. On the other hand, at the right hand of the Father on high is this man, Christ Jesus. The man, I mean in His physical bodily form, is not on this earth at this time. I believe that Jesus is alive in the hearts of His people at this very time, but the man is not walking on this earth as He did 2,000 years ago. You and I both know that. We know that that man is seated at the right hand of the Father on high. How then can we say that He's coming alongside us? I believe the two things that seem so different are drawn together, connected beautifully, in that most glorious of passages, the 8th chapter of Romans. I'll turn here now and conclude with this text. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, let's start in verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. Notice here, he says the Holy Spirit actually is involved every time we are truly praying. Now, I don't know about your experience, but in my experience, there have been times I've bowed my head and said words that sounded like prayer, but there wasn't any real prayer that took place. It was an empty, vain repetition. It was an empty shell of a prayer. But when we are truly blessed to pray to God, did you know the Holy Spirit is moving right there with us in doing that? He's enabling us to cry, Abba, to our Father. Abba is, of course, like the word Papa or Daddy. It's a term of gentle tenderness and affection. Without the Holy Spirit, we couldn't speak to God that way. We'd be terrified. We'd never approach to the great God of the universe and try to crawl up in His lap like we were a little child going to their father. But by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we can speak to Him that way. We can call Him Abba or Papa, Daddy, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit, making intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, he says later in this text, in verse 26. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's why we should pray, Lord, if it be Thy will. In our natural minds, we don't always know what the will of God is in the situation. But He says when the Spirit is helping us pray, He knows the will of God. He helps us pray in accordance with the will of God. So picture the arrangement like this. You've got the Holy Spirit with you now, today, in your walk, in your prayers. You have your advocate at the right hand of the Father on high. And those two, of course, are one. The three are one, Father, Son, and Spirit. And so when the Spirit here in your heart, in your life, is moving within you to pray appropriately, a true, real, effectual prayer, as the Scripture says, that availeth much, that sort of prayer, it's a direct connection to God through your advocate, Jesus Christ. You've got one person of the Godhead with you here, helping you to pray, and you have another person of the Godhead at the right hand of the Father on high, taking those very prayers and interceding for you. What does the book of Hebrews say? It says He ever lives to make intercession for us. He already accomplished His life and death and resurrection. He'll never do that again. But what He does do every day and lives to do forever is to make intercession for His beloved people. You have a Holy Spirit in your life interceding to God. And you have the Son of God Himself at the right hand of God interceding with God on your behalf. Can you see now that it makes perfect harmony to say the Comforter is with you and the Advocate, the other Comforter of Jesus Himself is at the right hand of God on high. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, never forget we have an Advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. May God bless and strengthen you is my prayer.